God bless you. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. We are coming to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. It began in chapter 5 and extends all the way through chapter 7. We're going to be preaching all day long on this. We'll conclude this message tonight, God willing. We're preaching on verses 13 down to verse number 29. That's where we've come to, verse number 13. For time's sake, I'm only going to read two verses of Scripture, and that's the last two verses of the chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. I'd like to welcome those who are listening live. I understand that there are several or some of the cancer folks that we've been able to distribute the bags to who cannot get out of their home because they're sick, and I understand that some of them are watching live. And I want to welcome them to the service. God bless them. And this is part of our cancer ministry. These are folks that don't even come here, I think. It's an outreach ministry, and these folks are watching right now, God willing. And if they're watching, we want to welcome them in with us. I know my wife's supposed to be watching. I love you, baby doll. I'll be home in just a little while. She's been sick. She's had double pink eye and something in her ear and something in her throat and everything else. And stopped up and all this kind of stuff. She thought she was getting over it and woke up again this morning and her eyes were crusted shut. So she's watching live, God willing. As long as the connection's holding up there at the house, that'll be good. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now back in this day, the scribes would quote other people. They would take their authority from somewhere else. But verse number 29 says that Jesus spoke with authority, not as the scribes. In other words, he had authority, and his authority was himself, if you will. And I want to lift out two words in verse number 28. It's the two words, his doctrine. His doctrine. Now, don't let that word scare you. That word doctrine simply means teaching. It means instruction. And we're going to look at his doctrine today. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Help us to be filled with your power and spirit. And I pray if somebody's here today that does not know you as Savior, I pray that you'll speak to that heart and help us all to learn what you'd have us to learn from this passage of Scripture. Thank you for this powerful book. This powerful chapter, and help me, Lord, to get across what you got across to me in the study. Speak to us, I pray now, and I pray for your will to be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses, we've come to the end of what's been called the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And this message was preached by the true Prince of Preachers, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, what a wonderful sermon it truly was and still is for us today. Now, after the Lord finished his message in verse 27, we see the Word of God tells us that the people were astonished at his doctrine. The word doctrine, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again, means teaching or instruction. In other words, the people who heard his message was amazed at what he taught them in this message. Now, it's his doctrine that I want to consider today. And as we consider his doctrine in this Sermon on the Mount, we're reminded that he is emphasizing throughout this sermon that nobody can enter the kingdom of heaven without exceeding the righteousness, the outward righteousness of the Pharisees. In other words, he has been contrasting the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes in front of man with the true righteousness before God on the inside. Now, we must be righteous before God, not man, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this righteousness only comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." In other words, Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And if you do not have him in your heart, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, along with this, we've seen the high standard in this sermon that the Lord has for everyday living, such as loving our enemies, not worrying about anything. Now, I know none of you worry about anything now, folks, but I'm saying to you, and living by the Beatitudes. Now, I maintain that these things are only possible for the true child of God, because they are completely against the world. They are completely against flesh. And unless you have God living in you, you're not going to love your enemy, my friends. Unless you have God living in you, you're going to worry about everything. Unless you have God in you, you're not going to live by the Beatitudes. So I'm telling you that everything he's doing, the bottom line is his doctrine, his teaching, was driving people to see that we need him. We need God. We need Christ. Now, we've come to the invitation of this message. I was studying different people, and I agree with them, that beginning in verse number 13, the Lord is bringing his message to a conclusion. And in this is such a strong appeal for salvation. I almost entitled this the King's Invitation, because he's giving an invitation to his message. Now, I want to look at these verses together. Now, there's three major things. I'm only going to get to two of them today, this morning, God willing. We're looking at his doctrine. What is it? Three things about his doctrine. Number one, his doctrine, first of all, called for a decision. It called for a decision. Now, notice verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And notice what he said in verse 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, the first thing we see his doctrine did with his hearers was to call them to make a decision. Notice in these verses how the Lord brings out two gates, two ways, two crowds, and two destinations. In this all here, we see that these following verses, in verses 13 and 14, that the Lord's doctrine brings out and calls people to make a choice. And then he narrows it down and says, your choices are not many. Your choices are two. You're either going to go on the straight gate or you're going to go in the broad gate. Now, the Lord has been preaching the truth to these people. And he now comes to the point where he says it is decision time. He's drawing the net. He's calling on these people to make the right decision. He calls these people to enter the straight gate. You know what that word straight means? It means narrow. Then he goes on to say in the next verse that the way through this gate is narrow. You know what that word narrow means? It means afflicted or suffer tribulation. In other words, he's saying this. Remember what he said, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And he's saying if you choose the straight gate, it is a narrow gate. It is a gate of affliction, and it's a gate where you'll suffer tribulation. He cut it straight, friends. Now stay with me here. However, he brings out that there are only a few who find the straight gate. Now, he also said that the other gate is a wide gate, and the way there is broad. You know what that word broad means? It means there's a lot of room. There's space in it. But it leads to destruction. He's saying in verse number 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the gate, and affliction and suffering persecution is the way, but it leads to life. Then he goes on to say in verse number 13, he says, wide is the gate and spacious is the way that leadeth to destruction. You know what that word destruction means? It means damnation. It means ruin, loss, or waste. May I say this to you? The Lord Jesus Christ and his doctrine has been cutting it straight, friends. He's been saying right here is true righteousness. And I'm going to tell you something. My doctrine calls you to make a decision. And here's your decision. Go in the straight gate. Go in the one that's narrow. Now, if you go in it, I'm going to be honest. It's a way of affliction. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer tribulation. But the end of it's life. Do you see it? But he says there's another gate. It's a wide gate. Many go into that gate. A majority chooses that gate because there's a lot of space. There's no tight spaces there. But if you go in that gate, it narrows and goes down to damnation. Do you know the majority doesn't mean it's right? Amen. In 1492, the majority of people believed the earth was flat. Columbus believed that it was round. And you know the rest of the story. It did turn out to be round, believe it or not, friends. In 1903, the Wright brothers believed that a machine could fly through the air. The majority of people laughed at them and called them fools. But when we see big jets today, we know that the majority was wrong, friends. I'm telling you, there are only two gates to choose from. The straight gate may be difficult, but it leads to life. While the wide gate may be easy. Everybody's going that way. But it leads to death. My friends, the Lord was not a preacher who taught you could get to heaven any way you choose. He did not teach that all roads lead home. He did not water down the gospel message and his standards of holiness. He preached it straight down the line. He also knew that his teachings were not easy. He knew that the flesh wants what it wants and does not like to be told what to do. Therefore, he's saying his way is the narrow way, while the world's way is the broad way. His way is a denial of self and self-righteousness, while the world's way is denial of his doctrine. His way is rejection of self and receiving his righteousness. His way is a denial of self and turning to him. And I wonder today, which way will you choose? Will you enter the straight gate, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Or will you enter the wide gate because it's easy and everybody else is going that way? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 3:3 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse number 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. By the way, let me just make this statement right here. That word water there doesn't have baptism anywhere in its context, friends. Baptism is not even mentioned in this chapter. That is obviously speaking of the physical birth, friends. Any lady knows, excuse me, that has age on her, if you will, or has had a baby, that there is a water birth. It's called the physical birth. And Jesus has just told Nicodemus here, he said you must be born again, and Nicodemus misunderstood him and said, what do you mean? Do I have to get back inside my mother and come back out again? He said, no, except you be born of water. That's the physical birth. And of the Spirit. That's the spiritual birth. You cannot see the kingdom of God. We go on to say this. Look at verse number 18. No, I actually don't, because I didn't ask you to turn there. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The bottom line is this. His doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it called for a decision. And that decision is, which gate are you going to choose? He calls them, choose the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. It's narrow at first. And yes, if you choose it, you will suffer affliction. It is a troublesome way. But at the end, it broadens out to life eternal. But he says, if you choose the broad gate, that's the way everybody else is going. Many there be in that go in thereat. But you go in that way, you're going to have a lot of space at first, but then you're going to notice that it's going to start creeping down on you, and it narrows down at the end to damnation. I almost brought a funnel with me today, but I forgot. I looked for one here, but I figured I'd have gasoline all over myself. But if I could just paint a picture of a funnel with you. You know what a funnel is? Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the world is broad at the beginning, and it looks good. It's spacious. There's plenty of room there. And the world says this is the way to go. Don't trust Christ. Trust yourself. Put the emphasis on yourself. It's not just Christ. It's all roads lead home. That's the broad road, friend. And he's saying if you go in that way, it will narrow and narrow and narrow until you are burning in hell. But he says to the world, I am a straight gate. I am the only way. They don't like to hear it. You must choose Christ. That's it. And if you do that, it looks narrow down here. But if you go in the narrow road, you'll find that it starts to broaden. And it gets bigger. And it gets bigger. Until now you're in heaven with God for eternity. Called for a decision. By the way, there is no teaching and no preaching worth a grain of salt that does not call people to make a choice. We give invitations at this church. And the reason we do is because the Lord did. Amen. Choose the straight gate. His doctrine called for a decision. And I'm telling you, his doctrine is still calling for a decision today. Have you chosen the right gate? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Or are you relying on something else? Which crowd are you in? The many or the few? By the way, you know why we're going to India? To tell them about the straight gate. What gate are they entered in right now? The broad gate. If I just do this and I do that and I do this and I do this and I do this, I'm going to make it to heaven. That's not true, friends. Jesus cut it straight. And he's saying there's one way and one way only. He said there's not many ways. He said there's not many choices. The choice is really this. Will you go into the straight gate or not? Called for a decision. Number two, his doctrine not only called for a decision, but secondly, it cautioned against false prophets and professions. We see this in verses 15 and following. Let's read this together. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. I'm going to stop there because he's dealing with caution against false prophets. The next part goes into false professions. We'll get there in just a minute. The second thing we see about his doctrine is how he cautioned his listeners about some things. Now we get this from the opening word of verse number 15, which reads, beware. You know what that word beware means? It means be cautious about. It means to pay attention to these things. Now in these verses here, verses 15 to 23, he cautions his hearers against two things. First of all, he cautions them against false prophets. I just read that, verses 15 to 20. Now in these verses, we see the Lord cautioning about false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. In other words, they look the part, but they are not what they seem to be. He goes on to say how they are known by their fruits. In other words, we're not to judge the tree by its leaves. We're not to judge the tree by its bark or its flowers. We're to judge the tree by its fruit that it bears. It's been said the fruit is the practice and lifestyle of somebody. It's been said to be the nature and effects of their doctrine. Do you understand that what you believe affects your behavior? It really does. What you believe determines what you do and what you don't do. In other words, get this now. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's given an invitation. His doctrine has called for a decision. There are two gates. Choose the right one. But be cautious about something. There are those who will come and they will act like a sheep, but their fruit will say otherwise. Now listen. If they dress like a sheep, but they act like a wolf, they are a wolf, my friends. They're not a sheep, and you're to be cautioned against them. If you ever turn your TV on and somebody says, the way to heaven is just to do the best you can, I don't care how good they look, that is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because there's one way to heaven, and anybody says anything different, I don't care what they look like, what they smell like, or what they do, they are a wolf, my friends. And you're to be cautioned about them. If it does not line up with what Jesus said in his doctrine, it doesn't matter how they're dressed, their fruit is exposing them. He goes on to give illustration as to the fruit of the tree. He brings out that men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. Thorns and thistles do not produce grapes and figs. He then mentions that every good tree brings forth good fruit, and every evil tree brings forth evil fruit. This is because, now get this, the nature of the tree determines the nature of the fruit it bears. A man is what he is on the inside. The tree does not bring forth good, the tree that does not bring forth good fruit, the Bible says, will be cut down and cast into the fire. Friends, are you listening to me? The Word of God plainly teaches that true faith will not fail to produce the fruit of good works. The Bible teaches this in James 2:26. Now, I preached through the book of James. I'd encourage you to go back and get that, because that is a portion of Scripture that many people think is teaching work salvation. That is not true. But what it is teaching, listen to this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. What that means is real faith is not produced by works, but real faith produces works. Do you see that? It's not produced by works, but it produces works. You show me somebody that says, oh, I'm a sheep, I'm saved, I'm saved, and they live like the devil, friends, they're going to burn in hell. If they live like the devil and they're never chastised and they don't care anything about God, don't care anything about his word, they don't want anything to do with God, and they say, oh, I'm saved. No, they're not. Somebody says, you're judging. You got it. I'm a fruit inspector. And I'm telling you that the judging hand of God that he condemns earlier, go back and get it, has nothing to do with this. He's saying, I have told you the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. And if anybody tells you different, that is a wolf. That's a wolf. I don't care what he is. I don't care how he dresses. He's a wolf. And friends, there are wolves all over the place today. There's one man that said that he flew over the Mississippi River and he looked down upon it and he said it's a winding, crooked thing. Sometimes it flows north, sometimes east, sometimes west. But the general trend of the river is southward. It begins in the northern states and keeps on its southward course until it flows into the Gulf of Mexico. And he said the Christian life is like that. It begins at Calvary and it flows toward heaven. Sometimes it goes opposite to God's will. A child of God's not perfect. Listen, you're going to sin. Says sometimes it gets over into Satan's territory, and sometimes it's barren and fruitless. But the trend of the real Christian's life is toward heaven. And thank God, one day he'll reach that goal. I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm not asking, are you just like Jesus? But I'm asking this: is there fruit in your life that proves you're a Christian? I'm not in the business of trying to get people to doubt. You know, a lot of Christians doubt. I've doubted. I can't tell you how many times I try to get saved. Hey, man, don't look at me that way. Maybe you're better than I am. All I'm saying to you is this: Jesus is saying, don't miss heaven. Don't miss it. And he's saying, beware of false prophets. If they come and try to teach you something opposite that I've just taught you in the Sermon on the Mount, don't believe them. He said, they may smell like a wolf, excuse me, a sheep. They may even dress like one. But they can't change who they really are on the inside. He's cautioning them about this. There was a preacher who was a traveler. He preached the gospel everywhere he went. One day he was residing in a little humble abode with a man who had once been on Skid Row and had found Christ and was now a real blazer for God. He brought the preacher into a very basic room and told him that he could spend as much time as he liked there, and he was going to get along with the Lord in that little room and get the messages for that week's meeting. So this preacher began to pray and seek God's face and to meditate in that room that he thought he was by himself. When suddenly, as he was praying, laid out before God and asked God to reveal to him what he should preach on, he heard a voice in the corner of the room saying, "You must be born again. You must be born again." Of course, this preacher sat up. He thought perhaps there was a divine messenger that had come to reveal to him the message. And when he turned about and he looked into the corner of the room, there was a little parrot, a bird. And the parrot was continually saying, "You must be born again. You must be born again." See, he realized that this man, who was a real trophy of grace and converted by God's mercy, was so thrilled with the gospel that he would go around the house chanting verses, one of which was, "You must be born again." And the parrot heard him so much that he started reciting this, "You must be born again." But believe it or not, the preacher decided, "I know what I'm going to preach on tonight." He said, "I'm going to preach on parakeet Christianity. Those who have all the language and say all the right things, but they don't have the life." Don't settle for anything less than the new birth. He cautioned about false prophets. Then he goes on. He not only cautioned about false prophets, he cautioned about false professions. We see this in verses 21 and following. Notice it. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them," notice this now, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now before you get ruffled here and say, "Oh no, I say, Lord, Lord, is he talking about me?" Is the Lord in the business of spreading doubt, friends, yes or no? No. He's spreading assurance here. When I study this passage, the Lord brought out exactly what he's saying. And it's so plain here that when you see it, you're going to say, "Oh, I didn't see that." Let me show you what I'm talking about. The whole thing he's warning against here, his doctrine not only called people to make a decision, it cautioned people against false prophets and false professions. He's saying this. Now stay with me here. Notice how he brings out that not all who says unto him, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And somebody says he's teaching on work salvation. Really? Really? John 6:29, Jesus answered, said unto him, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." The Bible says in John 6:40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, and everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Romans 10:16, "They have not obeyed the gospel." Listen to me now. He goes further to say that many will point. Now get this. Here it is. What are these people relying on? Look at verse 22. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Do you see it? And he said, they'll say, "And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in your name we've done many wonderful works." Where's their faith? He's saying, if you say I am your Lord, but you are relying on your good works, you will not make it to heaven. This is what he's saying. He's saying there's going to be many in that day say, wait a minute, Lord, look what I did for you. Look what I did. I cast out devils in your name. And he says, you missed it. I never knew you. This is not confusing. This should spread security, friends. He's saying, if you rely on anything other than him knowing you in salvation, you will not make it. No matter how good of a life you live. Is it good to cast out devils? Sure. Is it good to prophesy in his name? Sure. Is it good to do many wonderful works? Sure it is. But it's not good enough to get to heaven. He's saying don't rely on that. Because remember, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. He's teaching this. I'm telling you, do you know without a doubt that you have trusted Christ and him alone? Is there somebody here today that says, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I would ask you, how do you know that? Somebody says, well, I'm doing the best I can. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. You know what that is? That's the broad road. And Jesus said, I don't care what good things you do. They are never good enough to get you to the kingdom of heaven. Only Jesus can do that. John 3:7. I've already said this before, but it said again. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He didn't say you might want to think about it. He said, you must be. You must be. You say, Jody, what's the message today? Here's the message. The Lord has been preaching his heart out. You know, he's given us the opportunity to read it in his recorded word. But wouldn't you have loved to have been there listening to the words come out of his mouth? Can't you just see the Pharisees with all of their outward righteousnesses walking around, praying out in the streets? You remember the Sermon on the Mount? He brought all this out in the Sermon on the Mount. Praying as loud as they can, drawing attention to them. And the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, steps on the scene and says, let me tell you something. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of what you see with your eyes, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And he starts to go on and explain what that righteousness entails, the Beatitudes, loving your enemies. He says, that's impossible. You got it. You got it. He's pointing people to himself. He's saying, do you recognize you can't do this? You're not good enough. Do you recognize that you need me? That's the Sermon on the Mount, friends. And he comes to the end of it and he says, okay, the meat of my message is done. Here's my invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not you. I'm just giving you an illustration. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to tell you something. Enter into the straight gate. Straight is the way and narrow is the way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I know I've told you some hard things, and I know your flesh doesn't like to hear it, but it's the truth. Broad, because the only other option is a broad gate, and that wide gate that's broad, it's got a lot of space in it, but it's going to narrow it down to destruction and damnation. And can't you just see his heart full of love saying, I don't want one of you to go and burn in hell. I want every one of you to trust me. And he said, let me just say this. While I'm giving you the truth, there are wolves wandering around who's going to tell you opposite. There are wolves roaming around who have dressed up like a sheep, and they're going to tell you that what I've just spoken to you is not true. And he said, because of that, there's going to be many who at the judgment day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and done that and done that and done this? And I can just see, I can't prove this, but I can just see a tear coming down his cheek. And saying, but I'll have to tell him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is God saying to you? There's no doubt that the majority of you today know Christ and Christ alone. Isn't it great to be in that straight gate? What is God saying to you as a Christian? You know what he's saying to me? How many people are being led astray? How many people are being led by a wolf? May God help his sheep to reproduce. Amen. How many people did you tell about the straight gate this week? How many people did you tell about the narrow way this week? Then on top of that, could there be one in a crowd this size that you've come in this auditorium? If you drop dead of a heart attack, or if God came right now to take his church home, are you relying on a false profession? Or have you truly chosen the straight gate? It's time we cut it straight. And cutting it straight is, there is one way and one way only, and his name is Jesus Christ. Have you come that way? I share this statement, I close. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, speaking about the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. He said he was no doctor of doubts, no questioner or quibbler. He spoke boldly, for he spoke the truth. And we need greatly in these days a ministry of the same kind. Send it, good Lord, we beseech thee. And may the Lord add his blessing to this thought that we're going to continue with tonight. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you said it the way it really is. We know, Lord, that salvation is a narrow way. It is not a broad way. It's a narrow way. There is one way and one way only, and I pray that you help us to be faithful in proclaiming it. Thy will be done this day, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you this question. I want you to be very honest. Be very honest. Have you know without a doubt that you are not relying on a false profession? You know that you have trusted Christ and Christ alone. You're not relying on good works. You're not relying on baptism. You're not relying on church membership. You're not relying on anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. If and only if you can say that, I know I've not put my faith in something that's not true. If you know you're going to heaven, you don't hope so, you know you are. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Isn't it a great thing to be able to raise your hand to that question? Sure it is. If you couldn't raise your hand, thank you for being honest. And may I say that all of us who could raise our hand, that there was a day in our life when we could not raise our hand to that question. Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I don't want to put my faith in something false. I mean, Jesus even said, there's going to be many in that day say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and your name cast out devils, and your name done many wonderful works? Hey, Lord, have we not done this? And he's going to say, even though they try to call me Lord, I never was their Lord, because I never knew them. This is why you should never care what another human being thinks, because it doesn't matter what human beings think. The only thing that matters is what Jesus knows. Have you today say, Jody, pray for me. I want to make sure today that I am not relying on something false. I don't want to go to that place and hear him say, depart from me, but you say, I'm concerned that maybe I'm relying on something else. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. I don't want to have a false profession. I want to have a true profession. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing to tell people about the straight gate? I'll be honest with you, this is why we're taking this mission trip. We're taking it to glorify our God and tell others, maybe who've never even heard the story before, that the way is narrow and the way is straight. Have you say, Jody, I'm saved. God is speaking to me about sharing this message more than I've ever shared it in this new year of 2012. You say, Jody, would you pray for me and with me that I'll do a more accurate job? Now, all of us can respond to this. I'm asking if God has his hand on this, if he has his finger on it. You say, pray for me. I want to do a better job. God is speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, God is speaking to me. Yes. You got your hand raised. I want you to come in just a moment. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come as he sings? Come on.
Just
come on
as I am without.
Come talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it.
Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to
off. If you're standing, you can look this way. We're dealing with some folks here. One in particular, folks are praying. Here in America, and I'm sure I'm going to see a lot more of this, but here in America, we've grown cold to a message like this. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about this church, I hope. I'm just talking about generally. What you heard today, half the world's never heard. Never heard it. And we hear it and yawn. Now, if you yawn, don't think I'm talking about you because I don't have anybody in mind here. But, you know, thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch. All these kind of things. That's not an indictment. I'm just showing you that make sure your heart doesn't grow cold. You understand what I'm saying? Ask the Lord to keep this before you. And I know in a message that's a strong salvation message like this, a Christian can have a tendency to tune it out and say, I thank God I've done that. Praise the Lord. But what are you doing to get it out, you see? This is what we're talking about. May the Lord help us. This is Glenn Sparks. Glenn, if you don't mind to stand there. This is Sparks' son. God bless him. He has been saved. Has been scripturally immersed, and he wants to come today to join our church by statement. And I'll tell you what I tell others when I remember it, that we don't want you to come and sit. There's a work for you to do. Sharp looking young man here. How old are you? You're young. Young. I was 8 when he was born, the case may be. So I'm your elder. No, I'm just kidding with you. Have you happies here? Say a big amen. Hope many of you come by and shake his hand. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30. Tonight we're going to be preaching, continue with this thought. One more thing his doctrine did on the wise and the foolish builder. It's a great thought. Hope you'll come hear it. Amen. Hope you'll be much in prayer for this mission trip coming up. May the Lord help us with that. I'm going to ask Matthew, won't you come up here? I want you to dismiss us in prayer today, okay? God bless you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. And just thank you for the message that Brother Jody preached today, Lord. It's a powerful message, Lord. Just let us know. Let's go down that narrow gate, Lord. And God, just help us, guys, on the right path, Lord, in life. Just bless us as we go home. Prepare us to come back tonight for a wonderful message, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.